To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. And inevitably, a time for death, as Ecclesiastes said. And so we're gathered today together to mourn and to celebrate. For indeed, in the words of an old prayer that I grew up with, our grief is according to our blessing, and tears are a tender tribute of yearning affection for one who is gone but cannot be forgotten. And so it is with Nancy. We will mourn her, and we will miss her, but we will not forget her, for we have been blessed with her good company, many of us, for many, many years. Though death is inevitable, there's never the right time and the perfect time to die. We would have had the pleasure of Nancy's company for many more years, or at least as long as Nancy wanted to be here. Before we celebrate her life, her unique life, we do need to mourn and to admit the pain of the past several years and all of her physical difficulties, because Nancy was challenged with a lot of things physically and emotionally in her final years. She broke her hip, or hips, several times, and I have to say she was a miracle of healing. I walked with her as she did her exercises in a couple of different rehab places, a couple of different hip injuries, and every time her attitude was just extraordinary. Of course, she didn't think she was extraordinary. Oh well, I'm just doing what they tell me to do. But she was out of bed and doing her work and doing her laps and doing her exercises, and she was exemplary, and she had an energy and a life force despite all of the challenges that it was just completely unique. Nancy got knocked down a lot and fell down, but she always got back up until the last time. Even with her COPD, which so limited her eventually, tethered as she was to oxygen, she kept on going as long as she could. It became a part of her life, and she had to adjust to missing some things, of cutting off old relationships like here at this community that she really valued. But she kept a positive attitude for herself. In recent years, she also had the job of helping Jack, her husband of 66 years. Whoa. And that, I think I can tell you, was a job. Just getting Jack's attention was a job. And I don't think necessarily age-related, but she got Jack's attention. Getting his cooperation was another level of involvement. But she kept her spirits up, it kept her life force engaged, and it gave her a job and life to do, which was sometimes just to annoy Jack. And so it was a win-win. It got Jack moving, and it got her moving. And that's a relationship, and that's love, and that's 66 years. Her life in her beautiful home and their beautiful home and the Eichler was prolonged because of the Craigs and their ability to help and support from both daughters, from Nat and from Candy, who gave love and support from various distances. There was a lot of help that went into maintaining Jack and Nancy together in that home as long as it was possible. And that help was given because Jack is, Nancy was, very, very special. And she appreciated, and I'm sure Jack appreciated, all of the love and the support, all of the help that went way beyond the call of duty. And it was given to special people. It can't really be demanded. It can't be required. It can't be compensated for with money alone. It is a gift in many ways that's given to special people. The last time I saw Nancy, not that long ago, she had been knocked down again. Yes, there was a fall, probably tripped over one of the oxygen lines that she was tethered to, and it's not surprising that she fell. It's surprising that she didn't fall because these lines snaked through wherever they live, but she was knocked down again because I came down to meet with her and with Jack to discuss a memorial service for their daughter, Carol, who passed away some months ago. And that's something that even if it didn't come out of left field, it's something that no parent is ever ready for. No parent should ever have to endure. And the irony is that as I sat down and planned with Jack and with Nancy, that memorial service to celebrate Carol's life, it was to be in this place at about this time. Such are the ironies and the vagaries of life. But indeed, our blessings and our grief are related. Nancy was a positive person with great energy in my life, in the life of the community, in the life of all who knew her. It is ultimately her life that ties us all together. She is the uncommon, common thread that binds us together, and it is her death that makes us visible to one another today. But even when we go our separate ways, that thread, that common thread, is a part forever of our lives wherever we go. Nancy's life can't be summed up in a biography or a resume. The birth date, December 13th, 1923. She would hate my using the birth year. And the death, October 28th, 2012, are only bookends. Graduating cum laude from Ohio University, being president of her sorority, coming to California and teaching for 19 years, honors English, is only an outline. The length of her jobs, even the length of marriage, tells us something about her, but it's only a rough sketch. Her life is filled in with memories, with our memories. Yes, of Nancy as a teacher, as a friend, as a member of a congregation, as mother, as aunt, as wife, as grandma, all of the different ways all of us over the years have been related to her, we all have our own memories of her. She loved lots of things. One of the things that she loved was this Unitarian Universalist community. She loved it very much. She didn't always like it, but she always loved it. I'm getting some smiles of recognition from congregants here. What I mean by that is she took a hiatus for a number of years, but she and Jack were instrumental in creating and growing this place into a critical mass. And then she took some time off, and 20 years ago when I came, she returned and she reconnected with many of her old friends and formed new friends and relationships. And she was just a very important part, along with Jack, for many, many years. I met Jack and Nancy probably 40 years ago when Jack and I were working on a district committee and worked together. I was in his home 40 years ago as we planned events. We traveled and did workshops across the state and even to Arizona. And I was in their home many times for celebrations as well as planning events. Jack and Nancy have been a very important part of this community, and way beyond that, a very important part of my life. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate both of them and celebrate the great joy of having been blessed by their good company for part of my trip here. What also makes Nancy special to me are the quirks. The things that are not regular that you're not really supposed to talk about. Not the fact that she had a passion for words, that she loved Shakespeare, that she loved crossword puzzles. All that's fine. But, you know, Jack was a fighter pilot. Jack may be the warrior in the family, a first world-class warrior. But Nancy was a world-class worrier. Nobody worried like Nancy. She could worry about anything, and it was a natural calling for her. But my favorite quirk about St. Nancy is, it was her constant apologizing for the lack of neatness in her house. Now, she saw disorder at a subatomic level. I think she invented chaos theory, because I would sit in the living room and look around this beautiful, perfect house, and she would apologize for subatomic specks that didn't exist in the rest of our universe. And I never really said anything about it. I figured it was just some kind of strange Ohio ritual that people go through, a kind of Garrison Keillor-esque thing that you just say, oh, please excuse the disorder, oh, my poor house. It was really cute, and it was something that you could count on. What she did take pride in was her cooking, as well she should. I still remember the beef bourguignon. And am I getting any nods around here? I hope she left the recipe as part of her legacy, and I hope to be invited for it, because it was really special, and she was proud. The part of her house she was proudest of was her kitchen and what she turned out, and she loved entertaining her friends and her family. She loved that table. She was generous of her spirit and of her talent, and talented. It's quite a legacy that you have. Quite a legacy, and for all of you and for all the grandchildren. When I hugged her for the last time, of course I had no idea it would be a final goodbye. Having known her for 40 years, she and Jack are just such an important part of my life that saying goodbye just seems to be wrong, despite her numerical age or mine. Saying goodbye to an old friend is a difficult thing to do. She did not overly suffer at the end and slipped into eternity surrounded by her family and surrounded by love. Our job now, and this is a memorial service, and this service is not for the repose of her soul. This service is for the repose of our souls. We believe that Nancy is at peace. And now we try to move her from in front of our eyes to inside our hearts, and keep her in a peaceful place in our hearts. We do not get over the loss of the people we love and the loss of the people who have loved us. We get through it, and we find a way to keep them with us. We do not forget. That is not what grieving is. Grieving, in fact, is remembering. If you would take your hymnals and turn to reading 720. I'll read while you do that. I will read the block print. If you would please read the italics. In the rising of the sun and its going down, we remember them.
In the blowing of the wind and
in the opening of buds and in the rebirth of spring, we remember them.
In the blueness of the sky and in the warmth of summer, we remember them.
in the rustling of leaves, and in the bounty of autumn, we remember them. When we are weary and in need of strength, we remember them.
When we are lost and sick in our hearts, we remember them.
When we have joys we yearn to share, we remember them. So long as we live, they too shall live, for they are now a part of us as we remember them. As the uncommon common thread in our lives, her death leaves a hole in the fabric of our lives. It's a tear that we fill with tears, but more importantly, we fill with memories. And the stitches of memory that we give each other does not replace the person, nor do we pretend that it does, but it does put the ragged edges together. And though it leaves a scar, a gash, it is the best that we can do, and it is the best gift that we can give. I'm going to invite you to stand where you are if you have a memory. Grief is kind of a given, but if you have something that you would like to share, one stitch of Nancy to give to others, let me start with one that came in from Robin Thornton, who is an important part of this congregation for as many years as Nancy, but moved away. Robin writes, "Dear Jack and family, life is full of joy and sadness. This is a sad time as I reflect on Nancy's passing. When I think back, I remember almost exclusively all the good times when we were young and fancy-free. Nancy was a wonderful host, a great school teacher, and usually an upbeat person. I always enjoyed her, even when she was being a bit of a worrywart. So, Jack, my condolences to you. Life will be different now, but you'll have your memories of special times past. Savor them. With much love, your friend and fellow UUCF member, Robin Thornton, Eugene, Oregon." Does anybody else have a memory, thought that they would like to share?
And my husband and I were Nancy and Jack's caregivers, and I have a few stories to tell, but one of my favorites is Nancy would always, I'd help her with her shower at the end of the week, and she'd say, no fussing. And for a while she could do it herself, and then I'd have to get in the shower with her and do it and wash her hair, and she would just, I'm clean now, I can never forget that sound of her. And then we'd go in the bedroom, and I'd give her a massage and put lotion on, and then I'd say, okay, now you need to lie down for about 10 minutes and just rest. And she said, no, I got too much to do, you know. I said, no, I'm the boss on Friday. You get in bed and lie down and rest. And I'd put my finger on her forehead and I'd say, now, this is the third eye. I want you to concentrate on that. And then, you know, I'd leave and do whatever I'm doing. And she said, now, don't trip. 10 minutes. She sleeps for an hour and a half. And when she got up, she said, you weren't supposed to let me do that. Okay, but she needed it, right? And another story I like to tell is every evening. Now, I started out 2 days a week at their home, and then it ended up being 5 days a week most of the time. And I did the cooking, and when John said she was a good cook, I could tell that because I'm a good cook. And she would tell me, you know, if a little more of this or a little more of this spice or a little more of this, no, more garlic, more of this. And I knew from her saying those things that she had been a good cook, but she couldn't do it anymore. So she was praising my cooking. But the other thing that I noted was that they always had happy hour every evening. Without fail, 4 o'clock, it was time for happy hour. They had their favorite wine glasses. One was hers, and if I get them mixed up, boy, I'd hear about it. So, and then just a sip, just a sip. And then they'd have some nuts or something, and that was about the time I was leaving. And so help me, Jack's on the couch, Nancy's on the couch. They're having happy hour, but they're holding hands. Always.
Bring it up.
This is Gordon Littlebridge. I joined the church in the 80s, and Jack was the mainstay, so was Nancy. so are a bunch of other people, some of them here. I want to speak to a specific memory. We, my mother and I, lost Daisy, our dog, just a week ago now. And the memory I want to think of is back about 10 years ago. We would take Daisy over to the Thieberts, and they would take care of Daisy when my parents were traveling. I went over there, and they gave me a wonderful meal, and they talked of joy of how much life Daisy was to them, how they enjoyed her. And we're trying to get over some bad memories of Daisy's last year, and this one special night gives me the life of Nancy and Jack and the life of Daisy all together from the recent past. So I'm going to remember that one night.
I'm Judy Sterling, and I think a number of us here are from Ohio. A long time ago, I was probably 15, I babysat for the three girls at the home of Doc and Millie Thomas in Sunbury, Ohio. When I came to this church, probably in 1972, I guess I saw Jack first, and he said he remembered me because I was skinny and wore too much time ago. But Nancy was my daughter's high school honors English teacher, so that's a fond memory that will carry for a long time, and an excellent teacher. Nobody has mentioned that Nancy was a runner. Am I right about that? With a dog, and she would run almost every day, I think, with that dog. And when I saw her last, she was in the emergency room at Scripps, which is less than a mile from my house now. And she apologized for not being able to sit up and greet me properly, apologized for how she looked. And I was just overjoyed with hope that they would be able to patch her together and send her home one more time. But lots of really good memories about Nancy. This morning during the service, John mentioned that Nancy was a longtime member. I'd like to correct that. Nancy was with this congregation for 35 years before she officially became a member. So that's a record that I don't want anybody else ever to end.
You mean she lived in sin with us all that time? Oh my goodness.
Hi, my name is Al Danzig. About 20 years ago, I was single. And for those of you who know Jack, he always has an eye for the ladies. Even today. And he told me about this single lady who lived a few blocks away. And I should meet him. And so he arranged for him, her, and me to walk every afternoon after this young lady came back from school.
Whatever happened with that?
We walked for weeks, and Nancy came with his pet talks about what a wonderful lady this was. And Jack kept walking and kept telling me what a great friend she was. Lo and behold, 20 years ago, I married.
Ryan here. My contribution is pretty minimal compared to some of these other life stories. I did one particular favor for Nancy, and I wanted to share it. Evidently, we were both teachers in the same school district. She was in a different high school. And we lived in the same neighborhood. And one day I was going to my school, and there was a grade book lying in the street. Evidently, Nancy, in her departure preparations, had put the grade book on the roof of her car and then driven away, and the grade book was in the street. And for someone like Nancy, I should think that the grade book would be the Holy Grail. I mean, she's very, very, I'm sure, particular about... you know, the balance of the grades. And I was able to get her grade book back, unrun over. And I think that was the best favor I ever did for her.
Yeah, thank goodness no one here has ever left something on the roof of the car since Tuesday.
Hi, I'm Peggy Jameson, and this is my sister, Kathy Allen, who came all the way from Florida. And Judy, we are the daughters of Doc and Millie Thomas. Yeah. And our mother, Millie Thomas, had gone to Ohio University with Nancy. We call her Nancy B. And so for us, she's also become a long-time friend. We saw her through the years. But when Jack and Nancy lived in Tahana, we shared a lot of family times. There's three girls, and we're about the same age as theirs. And we just loved her to pieces.
Robert Keller, I remember Nancy and Jack at what must have been their 50th wedding party. I remember them dancing together, and Jack's wonderful laugh and Nancy's gorgeous smile.
That was a heck of a party.
Helena Riveros, what I remember most about Nancy was that she'd come in with her little oxygen tank and the little tubes and everything, and I would be on my crutches, because that's my disability. I had polio as a girl, and I would look at Nancy and say, how does she do it? She makes the effort, and she comes here, and isn't that wonderful? And I love having company, and that was those were the good old days.
Well, I'm Nat. I'm the oldest one, and I have one little story from a neighbor.
Of course.
The neighbor is named Pam Gilbright. Every Christmas they have an open house. About 2 years ago, Mom and Dad, as they were always invited, traipsed across the cul-de-sac with oxygen, Walker, and Dad. And Pam, you know, they got to the party. It was still daylight. They had a good time. Mom was the life of the party. And although Dad was hard to reach because he doesn't hear well. Anyway.
He hears when he wants to hear. Right now. It's true, Jack, that you have an auditory deficit, but you also have a listening deficit. So that's a yes.
So it was dark when they were coming home, and so Pam came out to the driveway to make sure that they would make it out, and. Mom walked with her walker and her oxygen, and then at the middle of the driveway, she said, "Jack, come here." And he came over and put his hand on her shoulder, and she took him all home. And so that was just a story about her independence and her drive.
Very special. She loved music. She loved music, and she had a special piece of music that she loved especially, and we're going to hear Claire de Lune. And a telephone ring. Thank you. We have in the chancel a banner that says, "We need not think alike to love alike." And I'm bringing this out not to sell the unique Unitarian Universalist vision of not having to think alike to love alike, but because I'm going to read the 23rd Psalm. And I have to tell you that the proof of this is Jack and Nancy. Jack, when you use the word God, if there isn't an expletive associated with it, is likely to get up and walk out. Nancy, on the other hand, was of a much more conventional religiosity, and they found 66 years of life together and 40 years of life together here. So, begging your forbearance and in honor of Nancy, with the old-fashioned sexist words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I am aware at times like this that we are not all the same. Even as Jack and Nancy, we're not the same. And we have a variety of languages where we try to stammer our sense of connection to the source of life and of love and of everything. And our words change, but we're talking about the same thing, the miracle of life, the miracle of being here, of being able to be with one another, love one another, appreciate this world, however it gets here, whatever poetry we use. We celebrate with great appreciation our opportunities, our joys, and even a certain amount of gratitude for the preciousness of our losses. In Genesis, it says that God breathed the spirit of life into the nostrils of Adam, and in Ecclesiastes, it says that it goes back in the final breath to the God who gave it. Science also teaches us that nothing is created or destroyed in the universe but changed. And this is a ceremony, a service, a celebration of painful change. where you will mourn her, you will miss her, you will reach out to pick up a telephone, you will expect a call, you will look as you drive by where they both used to live, those of us who live here, and think of them. Change is hard as we move somebody from in front of our eyes to inside our hearts, there to keep her warm and alive and a blessing to our own lives and memories. In the Psalms, the question is asked, what are we that God should be mindful of us? And it answers the question by saying, we are as the grass. We grow in the morning, we flourish at noon, we wither in the afternoon and are cut down. We are a part of nature, not apart from nature. When I was a very young clergyman and knew much more than I know now, I used to object to cut flowers at funerals and memorial services because, gee, what a waste. But now I think I understand the metaphor, because this flower is cut off from the living plant, but there's still so much that it has to give us. That's why we bring the flowers. There is the beauty of color, the diversity of color, the scent, the beauty of the flower in every stage, from bud to full flower to even as the petals fall. In every age, there is a beauty. And in every age, we can remember Nancy, cut off from the branch of life, but still with so much to offer us in terms of beauty, in terms of memory, in terms of inspiration. Nancy was and is and remains a very special, special person who blessed our lives. We close this service before we go and share more memories next door with a meal and some wine, with hymn number 123. So if you'll turn to 123 and stand as you are willing and able and sing in celebration of her life and of life itself. Nancy, rest in peace and rest for always in our hearts. Amen.